This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, September 20th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, stinging criticism from the state auditor of Illinois' prescription drug program. We'll also have a forecast coming up from AM 580's Mike Sola. First, a look at today's news. Teachers at Rantoul Township High School have voted to ratify a new contract agreement. Gene Vanderport of the Illinois Education Association says support for ratification was clear, but he wouldn't call it overwhelming. Still, he says teachers understood it was the best agreement they could get. Negotiators for the Rantoul High School District and its 63 teachers reached the agreement during a four-hour meeting Monday. The settlement came after teachers approved filing an intent to strike notice, and negotiators called in a federal mediator. The Township High School Board must now vote to ratify the agreement. It's expected at their meeting on Monday. The Urbana School District has unanimously passed its spending plan for the next year, and the director of business, Carol Baker, says the $49.5 million plan marks the first in a few years without significant cuts. She says the district isn't adding any new programs, with the only increases being for salary and benefits. Baker says the one area that continues to slip is state aid, losing about $700,000 this year.
With that in mind, the fact that we're even close to balancing the budget is because we have a lot of great people out there looking for grants and getting grants for the district, and we're making up for it in that way, as well as the fact that property values continue to go up.
Baker says the district has been taken off financial early warning status by the state, where it's been the past 3 years. She says budget cuts have given District 116 improved financial review status this year. There's still a small deficit in the approved budget, but that's excluding tax money that the district expects to receive from Carl Foundation Hospital. Baker says Carl's still waiting for the State Department of Revenue to determine the hospital's tax-exempt status. A judge has ordered the ballot in the 52nd District State Senate race to include Socialist Equality Party candidate Joe Parnarauskas. The ruling from a Sangamon County judge puts an end to a deadlock in the State Board of Elections over whether to take Parnarauskas' name off the ballot. It requires the Elections Board to certify the ballot by tomorrow afternoon, and a board spokesman says the board plans to meet then. For his part, Parnarauskas says he's pleased with the decision but worried that it could be appealed. He's also been working on a debate schedule with the Democratic and Republican candidates even while the ballot dispute was unresolved.
It helps in that, we are moving ahead. The Ferrix campaign as well as the Myers campaign were willing to initiate these debates despite the fact that this court hearing was pending.
Michael Casper, the attorney representing the two Democratic supporters who filed objections to Parnarauskas' petitions, says it's too early to say if the clients or the Elections Board will appeal the ruling. The University of Illinois' athletic symbol has received some legal backing. Yesterday, an appellate court upheld a lower court's dismissal of an Illinois Native American Bar Association lawsuit that claimed dances by Chief Illiniwek violate the state's civil rights laws. The suit claimed the chief's performances humiliate American Indian students and create a hostile environment that dissuades them from taking part in school activities. The 2-1 vote by a 3-judge panel upheld a trial judge's dismissal of the suit filed last year. Writing for the majority, Judge Warren Wolfson notes that in a 1996 law, the Illinois General Assembly declared Chief Illiniwek to be an honored symbol. He writes if the state's anti-discrimination law intended to overturn that sentiment, the state legislature would have said so explicitly. Illinois may soon join neighboring states in restricting abortion for minors. The law has been on the books for a decade, but the Illinois Supreme Court has held it in check. But now the court is likely to revive it. Sean Ali has more.
A one-sentence memo set off an abortion firestorm. In it, the court said it will soon clarify exactly how minors can appeal the restrictions in court. Without that clarification, Illinois' law can't pass federal muster. The news pleases anti-abortion activists. That includes the Pro-Life Action League's Ann Scheidler.
It's public in the media now, so our attention will be on them to make sure they go ahead and get this done in a short time. It should not take them any time at all. I mean, it could easily be done within a week.
It's not clear exactly how long Scheidler will have to wait, however. A court spokesperson says there's no date set to release the final rules. I'm Sean Ali.
The Champaign City Council has approved annexing land north of I-74 to use as a new apartment complex. Mayor Jerry Schweihart and Councilwoman Gina Jackson, though, voted against the annexation for the proposed Canterbury House apartments. They criticized the density of the 416-unit complex. And Schweihart raised concerns about the developers' plans to use tax credit financing so they can offer most of the units at a little below market rates to lower-income residents. He said other projects financed that way had been poorly managed. But Councilman Ken Pirock said the council should resist fears that such a practice automatically leads to bad tenants at bad apartment complexes.
This is the same thing you hear from people up here who tell you that citizens from Chicago are moving down to use Champaign-Urbana's Section 8 vouchers. That's a lie. It's not true. It's not happening. And I don't think that we ought to put a stigma on this project just because the words tax credit or low income come into play.
Indianapolis-based Herman and Kittle Properties wants to build the complex at Market Street and Olympian Drive. According to news reports, the Champaign City Council rejected an earlier version of the development 4 years ago. But Planning Director Bruce Knight says the city's comprehensive plan calls for building affordable housing north of I-74 so that people who work in the fast-growing area can live closer to their jobs. For the latest news online, go to WILL.UIUC.EDU/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Illinois Governor Rob Blagojevich's program to import prescription drugs from other countries is illegal and potentially dangerous. Those are the findings of a newly released state audit. As Sean Crawford reports from Illinois Public Radio, the heavily promoted idea to bring cheaper medication to Illinois residents has also failed to catch on with the public.
Governor Rod Blagojevich has gotten a lot of mileage from iSaveRx, touting it repeatedly to important voting blocks such as senior citizens.
We're just not going to sit back and continue to allow the big, powerful pharmaceutical industry to price gouge the senior citizens and working people of our state. People should be able to get the medicine they need at prices they can afford.
The theory is a simple one. Prescription drug prices are too high in the U.S., so why not let people shop where they can get them cheaper, such as Canada, Europe, or Australia? iSaveRx was set up to be the middleman, helping patients place orders with pharmacies north of the border and overseas. It would be the same drugs at possibly half the cost. The problem, it violates federal law. Illinois' Auditor General points that out in his latest filing. Not only is Illinois breaking the law, so are those who participate in iSaveRx. But the governor knew that going in. Federal authorities say they're unable to regulate foreign pharmacies, so they won't let orders filled in those establishments come into the U.S. The loophole is they rarely enforce the rule, so seniors who make trips to Canada for their medicine, and in this case states who want it shipped here, see no reason to stop. The governor's spokesperson, Abby Ottenhoff, says iSaveRx will continue.
We aren't going to let the FDA's refusal to help Americans stop us from providing the people of Illinois with a safe and affordable option for getting their medication.
What's clear is that few have chosen to get involved so far. About 5,000 people, including some from other states, have joined iSaveRx since it was launched less than 2 years ago. Ottenhoff says Illinois will expand the program so that state government employees and retirees can join. That comes as a surprise to Luke Vanderpleek, president of the Illinois Pharmacists Association.
What kind of ridiculous statement is it to take an unpopular program that's being found unsafe by your own administration's auditor general and saying that you're going to expand it?
Vanderbleek says he worries state employees could be forced to join iSaveRx to boost the number of signups. But the governor's spokesperson denies that's the intent. Instead, she says it's optional, but with an incentive that would include lowering or even doing away with copayments. AFSCME, the state's largest public employees union, says drug coverage is part of its contract with the state and no changes can be made except during bargaining. The state audit of the iSaveRx program also found Illinois was failing to properly ensure prescriptions are being filled by approved pharmacies. That news will only add to the concerns over safety, even though the governor's office says there have been no problems. While Rod Blagojevich thought it would be welcomed by seniors and others facing high drug costs, instead it's been met mostly with skepticism and fear. John Reinhardt is with the American Association of Retired Persons. The group was one of the first to get behind iSaveRx. Reinhart says even though the signups have remained low, they continue to support it.
I think one of the things that we often do with a program like this is lose sight of the individuals who are concerned. And one thing that we know, one thing the governor's office knows, is that individuals have been helped by this program. And it's important that we don't lose sight of that.
But the number of those who use the foreign pharmacies is small in comparison to what the administration expected, and the cost of iSaveRx has been at least $1 million to taxpayers, all for a program the public has virtually snubbed. Still, it gives Governor Rod Blagojevich the opportunity to say he's working to bring down the price of prescription drugs. Despite the issues of legality, safety, and participation, he announced plans to expand it during his re-election bid. And that raises the question of just who is benefiting the most. I'm Sean Crawford.
Well, it's going to be sunny and cool for the next couple of days before our next chance of rain moves in Friday and Saturday. The forecast for the two-state area in Illinois, Mike Sola says sunny today. In Indiana, some clouds becoming partly to mostly sunny in the afternoon, and highs ranging from 60 in northeast Indiana to around 70 in the far south. Mostly clear tonight with lows ranging from 37 degrees in northeast Indiana to 52 in southwest Illinois. And Thursday should be partly to mostly sunny as well. Tomorrow's highs will range from 62 in northwest Illinois to 73 in southern Illinois. Friday through Sunday, though, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms, and diminishing rain by Sunday. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, September 20th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.